show me wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside.
Yeah! Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah! This
look,
is
I'm
the
old
main event of the evening.
Sandoflor.
Welcome in. It is finally time. UFC 300 is here. The wait is over, friends. We've talked about this event. It feels like for months. It's been hyped up, and the card, I mean, at least on paper, they did everything they could to make sure it lives up to the hype. This is a fantastic card. Top to bottom, I mean, you kick off with a former bantamweight champion taking on a former flyweight champion. It does, I mean, that's the first card on the entire, or first fight on the entire card. That is going to be hard to beat. My name is AJ Hoffman. This is RJ Bell's Dream Preview, UFC 300 edition. I'm joined by my man Sleepy J, and David Tully joins us on the pod. You can follow Sleepy at Sleepy J _ pregame. And you can find David on X. I'm so used to saying Twitter, X, at All Day Sports 247. Sleepy first, how are you doing, my man? Are you ready to get into this? Is it as good as you expected it to be when they said they were going to go big here?
It was definitely as big as expected, but I actually expect a little bit more. It's not that I'm super excited about the main event, but I actually thought that maybe they would throw a little bit bigger of a fight in that one, so expectations are met, but maybe just a little bit disappointed with that.
David, what are your thoughts on the card as it stands on paper?
I'm super stoked for this card. I think it's a pay-per-view main event, basically, for every single fight. We would see this at a main event, at a pay-per-view, or at least a fight night with basically every single fight on the card. So you're getting main event action with every single fight. So I think it's living up to its expectations, at least.
All right, well, let's get into the fights. Normally we only cover the top two fights and then we give best bets and get out of here. We're going to give a little, I won't say a deep dive, but we're going to get into every fight on the main card and we're going to give our best bets at the end. And let's start with the fight that's kicking off the main card, with Cody Brundage taking on Bo Nickel. And this is potentially, and obviously lines can move between now and Saturday, but this has potential to be the biggest favorite in the history of the UFC. Right now, there are some sites, FanDuel, for instance, has Bo Nickel at -3,500. It's just the consensus seems to be more in the 2,500 range. But either way, you got to pay a lot to win $100 if you think Bo Nickel is going to win this fight. Cody Brundage, you can get him on the comeback at around 1,200 seems to be the average. Sleepy, I'll let you have first crack at this. I'm a Bo Nickel lover, so I'll save my thoughts for the end. But give me your thoughts on first Bo Nickel being on this spot on the card and the matchup with Cody Brundage.
I like the fact that they have him here in this particular spot, because I think you, I, and David would probably all agree at some point this dude's going to be co-headliner, probably a main event headliner. So I think it's just good for the UFC fans to go ahead and be able to go ahead and see as much as this guy as possible. I'm kind of with you here. Bo Nickel, big fan of this dude. Didn't know what to expect from him for the first couple fights of his career, but I mean, they were really short lived. I mean, this guy hasn't been out of the first round his entire career thus far in the UFC. I think the issue with this fight here for Brundage is that he might actually be willing to wrestle, and that's probably not a world you want to step into with a guy like Bo Nickel. The wager I like most here, AJ, I found this one on FanDuel. I actually think Bo Nickel has a chance to win here in the first or second round by submission. And he can get that by +105. I think Nickel's going to look to go ahead and maybe get a little bit of extra work into this fight and not try to end this, you know, within like 60 seconds. But I think the fact that Brundage might be willing to go ahead and try to wrestle this dude just to say, you know, let me see how I stack up against this guy. it's going to be a problem. And we've seen this guy knock dudes out and take dudes out in the first round. If I'm going to go ahead and push this to the end of the second, I feel really, really comfortable getting plus 105. So I see Nickel going in here probably just waiting it out a little bit and just saying, you know, come on into the danger zone, buddy. And eventually Brunge is going to do that. And I think Nickel's going to end up getting there by submission. So that's the wager I like most, Bo Nickel by submission within the first or second round, plus 105 on FanDuel.
I like that. David, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I got both these guys being wrestling backgrounds. Of course, Bo Nickel's more decorated a wrestler than Cody Brundage. But usually when this happens, we see the guys stay on the feet more than wrestle. So that, and given Bo Nickel doesn't have the stand-up pedigree behind him, I see Cody Brundage maybe lasting over that round that Bo Nickel has been able to have every fight last only one round. Now I see maybe he can get into round two. I think the UFC brass is having Cody step in because he is a little more talented and can give Bo Nickel more of a fight that lasts into the later rounds of maybe round two or round three. And like Sleepy said, round one or round two, if you can get that with DraftKings, you know, that's probably a good bet as well. But I have over a round and a half at this at plus 200 range as good value for Cody Brundage.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go against you on that. I think that Bo Nickel does finish in round one once again. And I was digging into the Cody Brundage's recent fights, and his most recent fight back in December, he got the slam knockout on Zach Reese, basically slammed his way out of an arm bar, knocked the guy out. Zach Reese isn't very good. Let's start there. The four fights before that, I mean, he had three losses in a row, including a first round knockout loss to Michael Olachechuk. He got subbed in the second round by Rodolfo Vieira, and then he lost to Cedricus Dumas, which was a gross fight. It's a guy he was way more experienced than, and he just couldn't get it done. And then on his record, he's got a win over Jacob Malkoon. But remember, Jacob Malkoon was beating his ass and got disqualified for an illegal elbow. So if he doesn't take that illegal elbow, he probably lost four fights in a row. I don't even know if he gets to Zach Reese fight. I just don't see him. Like, I know he's got a wrestling background. I haven't really seen him successfully use wrestling in the UFC. I know his wrestling is not on the level of Bo's, obviously. And I think, honestly, the best, like, as I watch film on this guy, the best part about his game seems to be his kicking. And you can't kick Bo Nickel. If you kick Bo Nickel, he's going to take you down immediately. I like your wager. My issue is, I mean, I think that Bo Nickel is starting to find a real comfort zone with his hands. And we saw in that last fight against Val Woodburn that, I mean, his range striking is starting to come around, and getting a 30-second knockout instead of a 30-second submission. Probably a fun thing for him. I'm just going to go. I'm going to lay a little juice here. I'm not going to lay the minus 2,000, but I'm going to say Bo Nickel in round one at minus 230. I don't think Bo Nickel wants the fight to go any further than this. Bo is a big believer, and I think most guys who come in from the kind of background that he do, his goal is going to be to get in and take as little damage as possible and get it over with, because these guys who have not been really hit, you don't want to find out what it's like, you know, especially on a spot like this. And I think the reason why Bo Nickel is on this card, at least on the main card, is they've got 3 5-round fights booked, and you've only got a certain amount of time for pay-per-view, and you know there's going to be a bunch of pomp and circumstance. I think they said, which fight is going to end fast? Which fight do we trust the guy to get the other guy out of there as quickly as possible? And I think it's this Bo Nickel fight. I think that's why they moved this to the pay-per-view. I mean, because if it was for star power, I mean, you could have made an argument to put Kayla Harrison and Holly Holm in that spot, but or even Figueiredo and Garbrandt. So I think that this is a they're looking to feature him here and they know that he can get the job done quickly. They want people to look at Bo Nickel after. I mean, if anybody who's like a casual guy who might only be watching this because it's UFC 300, they want those people to see how good this guy can be. So I'm going to go with Bo Nickel in round one at minus 230 and lay a little bit of juice there. All right. We've got a best bet on the Sarukian-Oliveira fight. So we'll skip that one, save it till the end. And let's get to the BMF fight, boys. I don't love the idea of this BMF title. I think it's kind of nonsensical and silly. What I do like is that it makes this a 5-round fight. And I think this fight warrants 5 rounds between Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway. Right now, Justin Gaethje, you can find him anywhere from minus 155 up to minus 175. Looks like the best number you can get coming back on Holloway right now is plus 138. The best number you can get on Holloway. I've been blabbing for a while. David, I'll let you take the lead on this one. What do you see in Gaethje Holloway?
I got Holloway. He hasn't been finished in his entire career, so you know that definitely goes into play. And I know he's going up a weight class against Justin Gaethje to battle for the BMF title. But like Gaethje's a more of a striker, tends to try to get guys out of there really quick, throw on the power punches. Max Holloway hasn't really ever came to decision. He's very good at brushing off and rolling off the shoulder with the strikes. So I really do see this fight, even though it is 5 rounds, going to a decision on this at minus, 110. You know, I see some value. You know, you get Max Holloway, who's never been finished. And I don't think Gaethje finishes him here either, as Gaethje's getting up there in his career as well.
Yeah, I tend to think that's a good take. I do think that this is Max Holloway's just, he's proven, his durability is so proven at this point. Like, if Volkanovski wasn't getting him out of there, you know, he's been in there with some of the best in the world. Poirier, he actually has been finished once. He was submitted once in his very first UFC fight. He got triangled by Dustin Poirier, but the next time they fought, went the full distance. I just think that he is so difficult to get out of there. And like you said, you mentioned something I think is key. I don't know if Justin Gaethje is like getting better. I know people talk about Max Holloway and like he's been through wars, but so is Gaethje. I think Max with his durability, and again, I trust he's going to survive. And the fact that he gets better as fights go on, he is such a high level boxer. He's typically capable of like picking apart these brawlers. I think this fight being a 5-rounder makes me think that Holloway actually has an edge in the fight. Like, Max is always going to have that elite technique and toughness in the later rounds, and Justin just doesn't have a ton of experience in these 5-round fights. So I think the deeper this goes, the better the odds are that Holloway it turns it into his kind of a matchup. So I'm gonna take Max Holloway as a dog here, plus 138. Sleepy, what are you seeing on this fight?
I was a little bit torn on this one. I kind of felt the way that David did here, that this one could go the distance. And then I was thinking, well, maybe this one ends in a KO. I'll just kind of talk through my thoughts here. We know that Max hasn't been knocked out before. He's never been KO'd. But I think that the issue with him is that he likes to go out there and taunt like he's like one of the best boxers ever in the UFC. And I think the willingness for him to go ahead and stand with Gaethje, that is dangerous. I mean, he can get knocked out if Gaethje hits you, because, you know, he just packs a ton of TNT in his power. So I can see Max maybe, you know, getting clipped, but I could also see him being elusive because he's very good on his feet. And I think that that's an issue here for Gaethje, is that we've seen Gaethje before go out there and just throw these haymaker bombs, and then eventually he starts to gas out. And the fact that this is a 5-round fight, I wonder what Gaethje looks like if this gets into the fourth and the fifth. And if it does get there, I actually think Max will outbox him, outpoint him, and just eventually get this to the scorecards and probably go ahead and win this one, you know, just on points alone. But I do think that there is an interesting angle to this one that I think could end this as well. And I think it could be Gaethje's kicks, because Holloway, you know, he likes that boxing stance, orthodox stance. And I think Gaethje might try to do some damage to his calves And I know we haven't seen one of those fights in a while where it ended with a calf kick, but I think that there's a possibility of that. So I could see this kind of going to the distance. I could see this ending in a KO. And I do worry maybe a little bit about Gaethje's chin, because we've seen him, you know, over maybe like the last four or five fights, you know, take some solid shots and look like he might actually get knocked out. So it wouldn't surprise me if Max caught him, you know, with one of those crazy wild swings, because Max is a good counter striker, and just clipped Justin right on the chin. So I'm torn right now. I'm on the fence. I don't know if I want to play this to go the distance or end in KO. I could see this getting to a path where both of those cash. So I'm going to sit on the fence right now and kind of just go through what I think. And there's so many fights on this card, AJ. It's not like I need to bet this one, but right now those are my thoughts.
All right, let's go to the co-main event, Zhang Wei Li against Jinan Yan. This is for the UFC Women's Strawweight Championship. And the odds now have, they've got Wei Li anywhere between minus 480, looks like the best number you can get right now. And you can get about plus 370 coming back on Jinan Yan. Sleepy, you got to take on this one. You feel any better about this fight?
I do feel pretty strong about this one. I like Wei Li by KO or TKO plus 170. I see some things in this matchup that I like a lot for this particular wager. Wei Li, at times, if you watch her, like, she seems to have like this very weird Superman aggression type of power at times. And it seems like from the fights that I've watched, and I've rewatched a lot of her fights, that if you poke her too much, or you know, you get a nice shot on her on the face, she kind of gets pissed off. And then she comes with like this Superman power. You know, you get kicks and punches and bunches pretty much. And it's just, it's a lot of power. I think the issue here for Xiaonan is that her defense just isn't all that good. A lot of her fights that you see her hands down, especially when she's like backing up, trying to just get away from her opponent. And I've seen from a lot of the tape that I watched that her chin's just there to get punched or kicked. And I think that her volume's not going to slow down, Xiaonan. She's going to go ahead and throw punches and kicks. And I could see her pissing off Wei Li to the point to where that Superman power comes out, her defense slacks, and she gets kicked in the head, or she just gets clocked, and this fight ends. I think that there is a really good chance, the fact that this is five rounds, that this ends in a KO. And I think it's going to be Wei Li that gets that done. It's not that I don't give Xiaonan any legitimate shot in this one, because I think that there's going to be a lot of a lot of punches and kicks coming in the way of Wei Li, but I just think that the power is a little bit different and her defense is just so much better. So I'm going to go with Wei Li by KO, TKO plus 170.
This is RJ, and here's what I know for sure. In the last few years, there's been a change in what people wear. Maybe it was COVID, maybe it's the evolution of things. I don't know, but what I know is this. There's a merging. The things that maybe before you had this outfit for the beginning of the day, then later you have another out. No, the lines, they're blurring. And you know, American Giant is the company to help you take advantage of that. This spring, whether you're dressing for work, the gym, or happy hour, you'll have something you love in your closet from American Giant. Their classic full-zip hoodie is iconic, and it's the jacket that started it all for American Giant. It's a body-slimming fit with double-lined hood, and the reinforced elbow patches mean the hoodie will last. Find a closet staple for every part of your spring days at American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use the code RJ at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code RJ.
I'm with you. I'm going to join you on that same bet. And a lot of it just has to do with the, I guess the strength of record of Wei Li, and, you know, like the way that she got Joanna Jędrzejczyk out of there, what she did to Carla Esparza. And I guess the idea that maybe she could also get a sub, maybe an inside the distance bet, would be better than, and lay a little bit more in case she does grab that sub. You could still probably get around even money on that. But I just think that she is such a nasty finisher. And even the Amanda Lemos fight, which was her most recent fight, it did go the full five rounds. I mean, there were plenty of times in that fight where they could have stopped it and no one would have complained, because she was just battering Amanda Lemos. Jan is, I'm with you. I think Jan is good, but I mean, she lost to Marina Rodriguez. She lost to Carla Esparza. Her best win is probably a majority decision, like a split decision win over Mackenzie Dern. And, or you, it's knocking out the ghost of Jessica Andrade. Either way, she hasn't had success against this type of an opponent. And if Carla Esparza is knocking you out, boy, I mean, Wei Li packs so much power for this division. It's not normal that I'm looking for a strawweight fight to finish inside the distance, but I think if there is one, it's here. So I like Wei Li inside the distance as well. David, what are your thoughts on this one?
I had the same thought process with Zhang Wei Li. Plus 105 inside the distance. You do get some plus money. And I can see, you know, Yan Xiaonan does not deserve this title fight by any means. Like, knocking out Jessica Andrade, I guess, is the name to get you the title shot. But we, like you said, Jessica Andrade is not the fighter she once was. And the only thing that had me pump the brakes on this is not to make like this a best bet type bet is the fact that both these women are from China. So I could just see Zhang Wei Li maybe not giving a full 100% to knock out Yan Xiaonan, because, you know, she has some respect for her being from her fellow country. So I could see this going the distance, but only for that reason.
All right. Well, there you go. I think, in fact, I kind of think the other way. I think that way, like, these women are so competitive with each other, especially in countries like China, where like winning is so, I mean, it's a culture, as if like you don't win, you're shamed. I think Wei Li wants to make an absolute statement here. I just think that she's going to overwhelm Yan Xiaonan, who I do think is good, but I just don't think is quite on this level. All right, let's take a look at the main event. Alex Pereira against Jamahal Hill. And this is sitting somewhere between, it looks like the best numbers you can get on Pereira are now at about minus 130. Best comeback on Hill looks to be about plus 115. I'll go ahead and lead us off on this one. I was a doubter of Alex Pereira. I thought that maybe they were giving him the push they were giving him because they wanted to move him up the ladder and give him a fight with Adesanya, because they knew that could make some money. But not only did he beat Adesanya, at least the first time, I mean, he's been really impressive in every other test since then. And I'm just starting to come around that this guy is the real deal. He is a giant. He's just a massive person. Even at this 205 class, it's crazy that he made 185. And everyone's going to have the same game plan with him. I mean, outside, unless you're like Israel Adesanya and one of the best strikers in the world, the game plan is going to be to take him down. And Jamahal Hill was just an okay wrestler before he blew out his Achilles. Now we're betting on him coming off an Achilles injury against a dude who's going to kick the crap out of his legs. I don't think there's any way to know what Hill's going to look like. I mean, this is just 9 months after he ruptured that tendon. It feels like he's rushing back because they said, hey, can you headline UFC 300? And Jamahal Hill said, man, that's a hell of a payday. I don't think it's a good idea for him to be in this fight. I think as soon as it turns into a firefight, you're going to see Pereira be the guy who's got more power and, quite frankly, just better technique from a striking standpoint. I think Pereira gets him out of here. I like Alex Pereira quite a bit at about minus 130. Sleepy, what do you see?
I'm with you. Like I said in the beginning here, this wasn't a fight that I was really excited to go ahead and see because I kind of thought that Hill would – I mean, he probably should have had at least a tune-up fight. Something to, you know, go ahead and at least test himself. I mean, the dude's been out for, what, a year and a half? And you got to ask yourself, like, out of that year and a half, how much time was he training? And how much time was he rehabbing? This is probably isn't the guy you want to stick in there coming off of a nasty injury. It's not like Jamahal Hill, you know, is any stranger to some big injuries. I mean, Paul Craig snapped his arm like a twig. So this guy's had some pretty devastating injuries. I thought maybe they should have threw him in there at least for a tune-up fight. But I think this line's just completely wrong. Like, I get it, like minus 130 for a title fight against a guy who, you know, held the title and hasn't lost it, gave it up. But I think this should probably be like, for hate of like maybe like minus 200. I don't think the resumes are really all that close here, AJ. If you took like what Hill's done over like his last five fights, he beat Teixeira, who was like, what, 40 years old, obviously, you know, on the tail end of his career. You beat Jimmy Crew, Thiago Santos, Johnny Walker, not bad, but young at that time. I look at that resume, I'm like, all right, you know, like you beat all these dudes, but you weren't in there with Strickland, who had the title. You weren't in there with Izzy, who had a title. Jan Blachowicz, Prochazka, titles. It just doesn't seem like the resume is really close. You're coming off of a year and a half. Like I said, how much rehab and how much training have you got? There will be ring rust here. There has to be ring rust here for Jamal Hill. I think the line's just completely wrong. I think Bejeda knocks him out probably within the first three rounds where his power is supreme and Hill's just trying to get it going. I could see Bejeda just going ahead and being like, you know what, let me just get comfortable enough in here to go ahead and see what this guy got, and then I'm just going to unload my power on him. And I don't think Hill's going to be ready for the quickness, you know, of this potential fight. So give me Bejeda, minus the 130. I kind of wanted to make this one a best bet, but I've been waiting to make a particular best bet for quite some time now, so I get to do it here on the UFC 300. So it's Bejeda for me. I like this one a lot.
All right, what do you see, Dave?
I'm with both you guys. I see Jamal Hill. He's in love with his hands, and the way to beat Bejeda is to take him down. And he's not going to do it. He's in love with his hands. He thinks he can knock him out. He thinks his hands are heavier, and Bejeda just has the skill set that is not on the same level for Jamal Hill. Is not on the same level. Bejeda is several levels above him in striking, and he needs to be. Hill needs to take him down to win. And Hill's just too much in love with his hands to take him down. So I got Bejeda, you know, like you guys do, inside the distance to get the knockout probably your best bet as well.
All right. Speaking of best bets, let's get into them. And David, we'll give you the honors as you've got a best bet on the last card on the last fight on the main card. Between Armand Sarukian and Charles Oliveira. What do you see?
Yes, I have Charles Oliveira as my best bet on this card. You're getting plus 180 comeback. Oliveira really hasn't lost only but one fight in 8 years in the UFC. And he's got a laundry list of names that he has been challenged by. In that, before they would even give him a title shot, I just feel Sarukian's being handheld. To not have to face some of these top guys just to get Charles Oliveira so he can get a title shot. You know, they both came off knockouts over Beneil Dariush, who, you know, we could probably agree is kind of probably in his latter stages of his UFC career. But Oliveira, you know, let me just read you the names. Clay Guida finished him. Jim Miller finished him. You know, Tony Ferguson, Michael Chandler finished him. Dustin Poirier finished him. Justin Gaethje finished him. He's finished all these guys that Sarukian just hasn't had to face. And he had to finish all those guys just to get a title shot. And the only person that's beat him is Islam Makhachev. And I see Oliveira getting the knockout here over Sarukian. I think he's going to finish him. I think he's going to finish him by knockout. I just think the UFC has played too nice with Sarukian on his way up, and he's about to meet a killer.
Yeah, I agree with this completely. I like Oliveira as well. It just feels like a disrespectful line. I knew that Sarukian would be favored, but I mean, because let's face it, Oliveira's like, it's been pretty consistent that he's been an underdog. He was an underdog to Dariush. He was an underdog to Chandler, an underdog to Gaethje, an underdog to Poirier. Sarukian, my concern for him is he is not a particularly big fighter, which means that he's going to have two options. Either he's going to fight at range with someone who's much longer than he is, or he's going to get in and try for a takedown. And Oliveira doesn't care if you take him down. Like Oliveira, like his Muay Thai stance is one that says, yeah, grab my leg, take me down. I hope you do that. Just because he's so dangerous on the mat, I just think this line is way out of whack compared to what I expected it to be. I thought maybe Oliveira would be like plus 120 ish, like getting up around close to 2-1 with Oliveira again, who's won 12 out of his last 13, just seems crazy to me. So I'm with you on that best bet. Sleepy, you got a take on this fight?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys here as well. I thought the line was completely disrespectful. I was kind of maybe in like Oliveira, you know, probably like plus 120 area. I can understand why Sarukian's favored here. I mean, the guy's been really, really good. And you got to wonder, you know, does Oliveira, you know, have a whole hell of a lot left in the tank after all these, you know, major fights that he's had? Here's what I think, though. I think we're going to see nothing but forward pressure in this fight on both sides. And I think that there won't be any lack of action in this one. I think both of these guys, you know, that they have a good amount of power. And both of these guys have been rocked before. If you watch their fights, I mean, both of these guys have taken some pretty big shots.
Oliveira almost gets knocked out in every fight. Like, that's what he does now.
That's true. And I think that both of these guys are going to end up walking into some big shots. If I could pick one of the two, I would say Oliveira is probably going to end up with the cleaner shot because, like you were just talking about, he can hit from that range. And I could see Sarukian walking into a bomb and you know, the lights going out. I kind of just want to play this one by KO because I think both guys can get knocked out. And you can get that at minus 115. I feel comfortable with that one. I think the big reason why I don't want to fade Sarukian is because he is on a mission, right? And I don't like fading guys that are on missions from time to time. So it was more of a lean towards Oliveira, but I do worry about Sarukian. But I just think that both of these guys' styles, it's going to create just so much action. And like you said, Oliveira's not going to have a problem going to the mat. And both of these guys are going to be comfortable down there. And it's just, I could just see like one of those fights where if you have this one to go the distance where you're literally shaking in your boots from the first minute of this fight because it looks like either guy can knock each other out. And when it's down to the ground, it's like eventually someone's going to find a submission here one way or another. So I don't know how this goes the distance. This is another bet that I really, really like. So I don't know who's going to win. I don't care personally. I just hope it ends inside the distance. So I'm going to go ahead and play this one to end by TKO, KO. Minus 115. I feel like that's probably the best bet for me.
All right. There you go. There you have it. A couple of, I mean, I think everybody expects this fight to be over quickly one way or the other. So, all right. Sleepy, your best bet overall comes in the Bobby Green, Jim Miller fight. Jim Miller fighting to try and be the guy who won on UFC 100, UFC 200, and UFC 300. You tell me, does Jim Miller make that trifecta happen?
I don't think that's going to happen. I've been waiting to go ahead and bet against Jim Miller for quite some time. I think, AJ, you and I might have did like one of our first podcasts again. I think Jim Miller might have actually been on that pod. And I think I might have bet against him and he beat me or something like that. But I've been waiting to go ahead and bet against him. I haven't bet against him in quite some time. And I think Bobby Green's the guy for me to go ahead and do that against with these odds. Like minus 170, you can find minus 180. I think that's perfectly fine. I think Green has much more power and probably a lot left in the tank. I don't know what Jim Miller has left at 40 years old. And I mean, I don't know if this guy might retire after this. I don't know. But I question some of the guys that he's been in there with recently and has gotten wins over. I don't think he's at that level anymore where he can go in there and fight a Bobby Green who has seen some pretty good talent, you know, over the last couple of years. I think Bobby Green's a guy that still has enough in the tank, that's still looking to go out there and win. To remain at least relevant for a little bit longer. And I just feel like I've been waiting for my chance to go ahead and bet against Jim Miller. And I think that this is going to be the spot that I'm going to do it. So I like this one the most out of all the fights here today. So I'll go ahead and give that out my best bet. Bobby Green minus the 180, we'll call it, over Jim Miller.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea that this is this fight goes deep. You know, Jim Miller is a guy who it starts fading as fights get going further. Bobby Green is historically like a slow starter. So if you like Bobby Green, I think you probably like Bobby Green and the over, because that's typically like Bobby Green's not really a first round knockout kind of a guy. He's a builder. I mean, we saw he finished Tony Ferguson like at the very end of the fight. So I like this fight to if not to go to the distance, certainly to go over the 2.5 rounds. You see anything that you like on this fight, David?
Yeah, just definitely to fight to last over round 1.5, you know, 2.5 to run fight to go the distance is what I'm seeing from my sources. Is this fight's gonna definitely should go the distance.
All right, I'll get to my best bet here, and I'm gonna go with the first fight of the night: Davison Figueiredo against Cody Garbrandt. I'm gonna go Figueiredo inside the distance at minus 105. And we have seen Cody Garbrandt turn into a safer fighter than he was when he was getting knocked out every time that he fought. But this fight was created for action, and Garbrandt still has that instinct in him to just let loose when things start to get wild. And I think Figueiredo is going to bring the fight consistently. And at some point, this is going to become a brawl. And when it becomes a brawl, I have to worry about Garbrandt's chin. And, you know, you'll hear a lot about Garbrandt looking better recently. He's looked good in his last two fights. And he has, quite frankly. But the issue with looking at those is you're talking about a guy who in Trevin Jones, who's a clear non-UFC level talent, and a 37-year-old Brian Kelleher, who doesn't really have the power to put you know, anybody away at this point in his career. So if Figgy does have that power, I expect that he either hurts Cody or, like, you know, and gets a sub, or he pounds him out and you know, gets a win with his hands. Either way, I think Davison Figueiredo inside the distance is the way to go. So give me Davison Figueiredo to finish Cody Garbrandt. You can get that, like I said, at around -105. All right, Sleepy, that's going to do it for us, man. Before we get out of here, though, tell the people, you know, how they can save some cash over at Pregame.
Pretty easy. Just go to pregame.com, enter code UFC50. You guys can go ahead and save $50 off AJ Hoffman's UFC 90-day All Access. Right now, without that coupon, it's available for $199, but use this coupon code UFC50. Get that down to $149. That's 90-day All Access. You guys will get UFC 300, all the bets, all the fight night cards, and any of the other pay-per-views we have on deck for the next 90 days. Again, that's UFC 50 for AJ Hoffman's UFC 90-day All Access. Also, if you guys are looking to go ahead and follow us on social media to get more content like this podcast, make sure you guys follow us on X, TikTok, Instagram, at Pregame Now. Make sure you guys check out all our videos there at Pregame TV. One more time for those of you that might have missed it, UFC50, that's the coupon code we're using to go ahead and save $50 off AJ Hoffman's UFC experience.
Yeah, and 90 days is like, if you buy every week, which I have got a lot of repeat customers on my UFC stuff, the 90 days is certainly the way to go, because, I mean, I put out something for, I won't say every card, because there's a couple where I'm like, man, I can't come up with a real confident best bet on this card. And if I don't have that, I'm not going to put up a card. But I would say like 9 out of 10 cards I've got up, and I usually have, you know, 1 3-star best bet, and then usually about 8 or 9 other fights. I've got 10 fights on my card for UFC 300. So just a great way to save money doing that 90-day all access. Sleepy, appreciate you. David Tully, thank you very much for your time, man. You guys enjoy the fights, and yeah, let's get together for 301. Probably not as strong as 300 or 299, but you know, I'm sure it'll be okay. We'll find a way to power through. But to all you out there, we appreciate you, and enjoy the fights.